How do people have so much time on their hands?
It's a long summer of reruns. Good thing the new TV season starts tonight.
This is the Extra Hot Great Podcast, episode 522 for the week of August 5th, 2024. I am after dinner dog walk in complete darkness, David T. Cole. And I'm here with Leaf Pile, Sarah D. Bunting.
Just raked those.
Pumpkin Spice Tar, Ariano.
It's really just nutmeg.
Sweater Weather, Alex Collins.
I'm just so cozy.
And Canadian Thanksgiving, Daniel McEachern.
It's in October, eh?
Welcome to Extra Hot Great. They said it couldn't be done, but it is. But is it? I don't know. It depends if you hear this or not. I guess we'll find out. You've heard these two separately many times. Now they're on together as wife and husband. It's Alexandra Collins and Daniel McEachern. Woo!
Yay!
How is it, Daddy?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. We are here because it's summer and it's Olympics and there's nothing on and it's time to do the fall TV preview. We are going to each bring you at least one, maybe a few, shows in the categories of show you're into, show you should be into but aren't, new, happy for you show. This is something that's not for you, but that you bear no grudge against others for watching. And the opposite of that, a show no one should be into. And these are for shows premiering either their seasons or the whole series between September 1st and November 23rd, 2024. Dave, shall we just get into it? Why don't you start us off? What's your show you're into?
All right. So the show that I'm into is a Netflix show that debuts September 19th. It's called The Queen of Villains. This is a show that feels like it's going to be potentially a Japanese Glow.
Okay.
It's the biography of a real Japanese 80s woman wrestler that was the heel to end all heels in Japanese wrestling. It sounds kind of amazing. I watched some clips of this wrestler in action from the 80s, and it's everything you want it to be. Can they stick the landing like they stuck it to Glow? Well, probably not as good as Glow. What could be? But I feel like it's going to scratch that itch. And this came to me out of the blue. I had no idea this was going on. It just kind of like escaped my attention. So there's other shows that I would also perhaps be into, but this one got me the most excited most recently. So I'm going to put it at the top. It feels like it could be a lot of fun, and it's short. I think it's 5 episodes, which is good.
All right. Queen of Villains on Netflix. Sarah, you're up.
Oh, wait. I forgot to say the wrestler's name is Dump Matsumoto. Dump.
Okay, that's pretty solid.
Yeah. Amazing.
And it all becomes clear. My show that I'm into is Interior Chinatown. It premieres on Hulu on the 19th of November. Here is the logline, quote, relegated to the background, Willis goes through the motions of his on-screen job, waiting tables and dreaming about a whole world beyond Chinatown. When he inadvertently becomes a witness to a crime, Willis begins to unravel a criminal web in Chinatown and in the process discovers what it feels like to be in the spotlight. This is based on a book, and it's not entirely clear to me because I have not read the book in question whether this is like one of those Purple Rose of Cairo, like through the fourth wall situations. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't care. I feel like that premise, it could go wrong pretty easily, but I just feel for some reason drawn to this idea. It could, like I said, be twee, but I think the premise is cool. And I think that it being on Hulu means that it's a like safer landing spot for something like it than some other places, i.e. I'm glad that a network is not taking a run in it. So Interior Chinatown, November 19th on Hulu.
Love it. I will go next. I am looking forward to a bunch of shows, including one that we watched all of this weekend. Thank you, Apple TV Plus, for the screeners for Slow Horses, season 4, coming soon. Actually, very soon, September 4th, the best show you jerks aren't watching. God damn it, listen to us. I don't know how much we have to keep telling you. But my actual show is called English Teacher, and it is premiering so soon. It's going to be on FX starting September 9th. This is the new sitcom from Brian Jordan Alvarez, who, if you're on TikTok, you've probably seen him. Last summer, he had a song go viral which he did in character, called Sitting is the Opposite of Standing. He also was a love interest for Jack on the Will and Grace reboot. Don't hold that against him. He was in Megan as well. He is the titular English teacher. Also with him in the show are Enrico Colantoni and Langston Kerman, among many others. It's a single cam sitcom about public school employees half-assing their jobs, and it comes to us from the king, as far as I'm concerned, of workplace sitcoms, Paul Sims, creator of News Radio, also behind What We Do in the Shadows and Atlanta. So all of that talent on one project tells me this is going to be good, and I'm very excited for that. Alex.
So the show I'm into is In Vogue, the 1990s. So it premieres on Hulu September 13th. I was a young teen in the mid-90s living in northern Canada and introduced to the world of fashion by Vogue and W. So that sets me up pretty well for Vogue in the 90s. It was a podcast actually of the same name, which I didn't realize until we started researching this. So that has now been downloaded, and I'll start to dive into that. And documentaries are my favorite type of TV programming, really. Let's just boil it down. So this is very much Alex TV. And I'm hoping it's going to take me back to my days of, for the Canadians among us, Jeannie Becker and fashion television, which was like formative to my teen years. And I really enjoyed the September issue when that documentary came out in 2009. So I'm hoping it's a little bit of a view kind of that way of storytelling. I'm going to be sad that Andre Leon Talley won't be assumed part of it this time around, because I think he was a great part of the September issue. But I do. I look forward to diving back into that world of 90s fashion and, you know, low-riding pants and flannel and slip dresses all in one outfit. I think, you know, being aware that Vogue is pretty involved in the production makes it great for access, but probably less of sort of a critiqued view of Anna Wintour's combination of celebrity and fashion in the 90s. But I think I'm okay with that. I am looking forward to just beautiful people telling beautiful stories about interesting fashion of the 90s.
I'm sure they will have Andre Leon Talley in it, archivally at least.
I hope so.
I don't think they could do it.
I need it. I agree.
Danny.
I'm looking forward to the return of What We Do in the Shadows. What We Do in the Shadows is starting its sixth season on October 21st, and I believe that's FX/Hulu. I'm not sure. We're Canadian. So for us, it winds up being on Disney Plus, of all places. Not since Veep have I looked forward to watching a show every week from the opening credits to the end credits. Alex and I actually dressed up as Nadia and Laszlo for Halloween last year. I don't know what my life was like before Matt Berry came into it and all his projects, from What We Do in the Shadows, Toast of London, even Garth Marenghi's Dark Place. What We Do in the Shadows is my pick.
All right, let's go around. Anybody have any extras they were holding just in case somebody took it? I know I have one, which was going to be my second choice. Great. I see some hands up. I'm going to go with Agatha All Along as one that I'm also sort of into, because when I was watching WandaVision, there was a lot of times where I was like, I wish Catherine Hahn was in this more. And here's a show that's all her. So, and I think it also feels like they're moving away from the Marvel-iness of it all. So I feel like it might be a Marvel show that is the least Marvel-y of all the Marvel shows, which isn't a bad thing in my book. So I'm cautiously optimistic about this one. It's also got Patti LuPone. So, you know, for all you Penny Dreadful people out there, we also got Patti LuPone back doing witchy stuff. So that's good. Tara, did you have one?
I have a few. How to Die Alone is Natasha Rothwell's new sitcom coming to Hulu September 13th. Don't really know much about it, except she works at an airport and she created it and she's the best. She was a wonderful supporting player on Insecure and in the first season of The White Lotus. I will watch anything she does. Speaking of people who I will watch anything they do, Three Women with Betty Gilpin. Don't know anything about it at all. Could be about her and two other women going to get their taxes done. Sounds great. I will be there. And finally, Dr. Odyssey, coming to ABC on September 26th. This is the Joshua Jackson, he's a doctor on a boat show with Don Johnson. Has major throwback soap vibes. I'm sure it's going to be cheesy as hell, but I don't care. I will be there for it. And I forget if I said Three Women is stars September 13th, same day as How to Die Alone. Alex.
I have an honorable mention for, and don't judge me, I watch some trash, but I also watch a lot of PBS and read nonfiction. But my honorable mention is going to The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, which premieres September 6th, also on Hulu. I went to college in Canadian Mormon country, so I always find myself interested in Mormon goings on. And it just the quick Virgin, it is a story in 2022 that I got caught up in on TikTok about this group of Mormon influencer moms who ended up in a, quote, soft swinging scandal, not sure. Normal swinging, soft swinging between a few of the couples. And it just kind of goes from there. So
what's the difference?
Holding hands.
It's apparent. The difference.
No caffeine.
Is whether or not your spouse is in the room. That is the difference of soft swinging.
Okay.
In case anyone needed to know that, you asked.
Okay. Huh. All right, let's go back to Sarah before we hit Danny.
I had a couple. One is The Penguin, which premieres on HBO on the 19th of September. This is not IP I usually give one shit about, but the casting includes Colin Farrell, Clancy Brown, Kristen Milioti. It's promising. And it's not on a network. Like, if it were on Fox, I'd be like, nah, but the fact that it's on HBO makes me hopeful. And hear me out. I'm only going to watch like 15 minutes of this, but the new Matlock with Kathy Bates and Jason Ritter, that premieres on CBS, which is, you know, the non-dark, non-underbelly of this project. But that'll be on September 22nd. Probably overly optimistic to expect a fresher Perry Mason 2.0 meets Elspeth vibe from it. I doubt that Nana is going to change her liver spots in this case, but I'm going to give it a try. And if it sucks, then I'll just stop watching it. But yeah, I mean, I like that casting. So that's where that is.
My backup is one that anybody listening to this show should be familiar with. That is the new season of Taskmaster. We were introduced to the show by Extra Hot Greats in person when we visited Austin a few years ago. And then when we came back to Newfoundland, we started spreading the Taskmaster word to everybody that we knew, like John and Jane, Taskmaster Seed. And everybody that we introduced it to loved it. And in some cases, actually passed us in terms of how fast they were watching it and got caught up. This coming season has a guy on it named Babatunde, whom Alex and I are very excited to see, as he is excellent on a show called Celebrity Gogglebox. It's a British show that we flew to England to see. And I mean, literally, we discovered it while we were in England a couple of years ago and are desperate to find it here. And we can usually only find it on bad YouTube rips. But the new series of Taskmaster, that's what I'm looking forward to.
Nice.
All right. Let's move to should be into, but are not. I was excited when I saw a show called Twilight of the Gods. It was a series about, I think, Norse mythology, although it might be more than that. I am not sure. I got as far in the trailer as Zack Snyder, and then I was like, because there's nothing that guy can't fuck up and make unpalatable. I am very much into Norse mythology a lot. I love reading source material even some back in the day. But just something about this just screamed like, from the maker of Sucker Punch, like, no, thank you. And though I'm just going to roll this in because it falls outside of the dates that we're talking about. But everything I just said, ditto for a show called Chaos, which seems to be dealing with a whole bunch of the same kind of stuff, except it's Greek gods. And it's not animated. It's filmed. It stars Jeff Goldblum as Zeus. And it feels like it's trying to be The Boys, but it won't be because they're pulling their punches, I'm going to guess, judging by the trailer. Yeah. So let's throw Chaos in there as a bonus, even though it falls outside of our purview here.
He's not Greek.
He's not Greek at all.
No.
Sarah, what is your first should be into, but are not?
I just have the one, but I really should be into it, and I really am not. That's American Sports Story, Aaron Hernandez, that premieres on FX on September 17th. The series is based on the podcast Gladiator, Aaron Hernandez and Football Inc. That came from the Boston Globe and Wondery. It's focusing on the rise and fall of former NFL player Aaron Hernandez, specifically the disparate strands of Hernandez's identity, family, career, so on and so forth. I listened to that podcast when it came out in the before time. It was good. My feeling is that the culture has oversubscribed interest in this man and his life and crimes and the end of his life. I just don't think it has that much to tell us beyond surface facts of his tragedy and what it was for himself and other people. Do talented athletes get more chances / face fewer consequences? Yes. Did CD play a role in Hernandez's behavior, including his death by suicide? Probably. Whatever questions the series purports to raise, our society has already stipulated those answers. So it's like, the periodic attempts to resuscitate the Menendez killings as like a larger story about capital O, our culture. Sometimes murders aren't that complicated, and these projects always get bogged down in the casting when it comes to like not picking a particularly fresh case. I want this to be good. I want to be wrong. I think it will try to be thoughtful and insightful on, you know, a higher level, but it's probably just a sad, sordid story that doesn't need 10 prestige episodes or honestly, even 3. Anyway, that is mine. And that is my only one because I said a bunch. Tara.
Should be into, but I'm not. The Perfect Couple coming to Netflix on September 5th. This is based on the book by Ellen Hildebrand. A young woman's about to marry into a crazily wealthy family when someone gets murdered on their wedding weekend. Nicole Kidman is the rich family matriarch. It's been many a year since I've trusted her taste in TV projects, and this feels like a very cynical Knives Out times White Lotus. And, you know, if you're in both of those wakes, I guess there are worse things to rip off, but it just feels like a ripoff to me. So I will probably sample it, but I am very much not optimistic about it. Alex.
Well, I also had the American Sports Story as my main choice for same reasons as you, Sarah, too. And I think it's a tragic story, and I just don't know that it lends itself to that Ryan Murphy docudrama kind of treatment either. Because you said,
yeah,
it's what it is. So I feel the same way, but I should be into it. Same thing. Listen to the podcast, did it, but it's not. But I had a backup that I'll go to. The show I should be into, but I'm not, is Abbott Elementary, which premieres on ABC on October 9th. It's just, you know, for a long time, for the last couple seasons or the first couple seasons of Abbott Elementary, it was our go-to show on the recording. It was a favorite thing to watch. It was the thing we looked forward to the most. And I don't know if this is maybe an argument for that British style of television where you have a good concept and big characters, so you keep it to fewer seasons and shorter seasons so you can, you know, do them all justice without getting tired of them. Because, yeah, the story started to become predictable and, you know, those characters that you loved, like Ava, start to become overdone and kind of exhausting because there's nothing more you can do with them than you've already done. So they become sort of silly. And, yeah, the Janine arc, the last season of just trying to sort of shove her into places and give her examples, but she has to wind up back at elementary and back in a relationship with Gregory. So none of the characters get to develop either because you keep having to put them back into the same place they were. You know, there's still a couple of decent jokes, and Janelle James is a national treasure who should be getting more and different projects than this now. So I think Abbott Elementary for us will probably be what some of these shows are when we start to feel this way, a new season where maybe we'll watch the first episode. We won't say anything and it'll just start to pile up on on the recordings and then we don't talk about it and we just stop watching it. And I have a feeling that's where Abbott Elementary will go for us this season.
It really has fallen off. I agree. I can say, though, with regard to Janelle James, she did a voice in the latest season of Monsters at Work, and she also does a voice in Kite Man Show. She is Queen of Fables on that, so she's around. She's just not on camera always. Danny.
Well, I should have picked a backup because I thought this might happen, but mine is also Abbott Elementary for a lot of the same reason Alex said. So I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time going over it, but just everything Alex said, I agree with. That's my general philosophy in life anyway. Mm-hmm. But I find that they keep dragging out the will they won't they aspect of Janine and Gregory, and it makes it tedious. And it's funny, I was going to say that I'm tired of that mockumentary format because the longer it goes on, the more questions you have about whatever production this is. But at the same time, the show that I'm into also has that mockumentary aspect to it too, but I am not burned out on What We Do in the Shadows. Mm-hmm. Abbott Elementary should be into, but I am fading fast on that one.
All right, Tara, what is your backup? And I'll go after you.
I have a few backups. Fight Night coming to Peacock on September 5th. This is a docudrama about a real heist, the night of Muhammad Ali's comeback fight in the 70s. It comes from Craig Brewer, who made Hustle and Flow. The cast is crazy. I only want good things for Taraji P. Henson. I don't know why we are still giving Terrence Howard jobs. Obviously, I know Craig Brewer plus Terrence Howard was very successful on Hustle and Flow, but a lot of things have changed since then. So I'm not into that guy. This is one Sarah should be into, but isn't. Joan coming to the CW on October 2nd. Sophie Turner stars as notorious jewel thief Joan Hannington in this exhilarating yet emotional story set against the vibrant backdrop of the 1980s. an era known for its bold fashion trends, iconic music, and cultural shifts. I'm so there if this were on PBS, but it's not. It's on the CW, and I don't get it. I can't imagine.
What are they fucking doing? What are they doing?
So weird.
Is it like between quarters of college football? What is the fucking brief with that network now? It's wild.
I don't know. And my last one is the ironically named Nobody Wants This, coming to Netflix on September 26th. A comedy centered on the unlikely relationship between an outspoken agnostic woman, Joanne, played by Kristen Bell, and an unconventional rabbi, Noah, played by Adam Brody. I'm almost there for no good reason. I love the movie Keeping the Faith, which is the same kind of thing, but I have Kristen Bell fatigue and I can't. So those
That shows up later in my list in the More For You section. And also, like, hey, didn't they close the hack school of show titling? Don't do this to yourselves.
I put The Penguin in here just because I watched the trailer and it just seemed like a mob story with, like, the Batman's just outside. He's not going to come with us into the scene. Trappings, you know, it's very
Chrissy Snow.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.-y in that way. I mean, I'll probably tune in and watch a couple, but that Batman universe is so mirthless and dark and just 100%. Oppressive. And it's just like, it's not fun.
No, that movie sucked ass.
Yeah, it wasn't great. But Colin Farrell, I'm curious to see, you know, what sort of creature the Penguin is. Maybe he's more. Maybe we'll find out he's from places we've never even dreamt of in episode 7. Who knows? That Colin Farrell, he's a crazy guy. The other one I'm going to put into, should be into, but are not, is the Peacock miniseries Day of the Jackal. Every 9 years, Day of the Jackal must be reshot for some medium or the Goblin Army will get us all.
Yeah, why?
It looks
so true.
Cromulent in that sky production sort of way. You know, Lupin, Bodyguard. Remember Bodyguard, Tara? With that guy from Game of Thrones.
Sure.
Perfectly fine, and you watch it and you're there as long as you don't think about it too hard, and as soon as you're done watching it, it oozes out of your ear and you never think about it again. That's sort of like what Sky is really good at, quality brain ooze programming. This feels like it's that. So I'll probably watch it. You know, Eddie Redmayne is the assassin. It's got beautiful locales all over Europe. It's one of those shows, so it might be fun to look at, but I'm just gonna guess it's not gonna fire on all cylinders. So those are my two for that. Shall we move on to Happy For You?
Oh, let's do.
And Tara, I'm happy for you, Tara, because of Dr. Odyssey. What you didn't mention is the nutshell math of this. Judging by the only trailer online, which is 15 seconds long, features Don Johnson as the boat captain, I think, or manager or something like that.
Who cares? Sure.
Joshua Jackson as the ship doctor.
Yes.
It's a combination, therefore, of Royal Pains, 9-1-1, because it looks like shit happens, is a, you know, it's a Ryan Murphy thing. So
sure, yes.
People are just going to get sick. They're going to get, like, poisoned in terrible, you know, sea creature ways somehow. It's going to jump up in a swimming pool. There's going to be electric eels. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then Love Boat. It's all three of those things all at once. Mm-hmm. So I'm very happy for you, Tara.
Thank you. Me too.
Yeah. Sarah, a Happy For You show?
Yeah, mine is Agatha All Along, because all along I've been like, I'm, you know, Catherine Hahn is fine. I feel like in our sort of TV watching circle, she's like Taylor Swift and you're like not allowed to be neutral about her, except that a lot of people really hate Taylor Swift and start yelling. And I don't think anyone hates Catherine Hahn. I like her fine. But my strong sense is that this project had a window and that that window closed 18 months ago. The constant renaming is not a super sign either. I keep calling it Vision Quest. That's a very, very different thing. I liked WandaVision fine. And I'm hopeful on behalf of everyone who is psyched about this. But I think it's going to be kind of a squishy B minus. And I'm out. Dodo's out. Good luck to everybody. Agatha All Along.
Two things. I guess their constant renaming was like an inside marketing joke.
But it's a bad bit.
That was a bit?
Flew over my head and wasn't that funny.
That's apparently.
Yes. They kept on renaming it every 3 months and the joke was, well, the title was Agatha All Along. The other thing is that Vision Quest, I believe, is the title of another show coming about the white Vision from WandaVision.
Oh,
so
that's
you
funny.
Still will get Vision Quest in the future.
Funny. Possibly.
I am crazy for you not watching that, whatever it is. Anyway, moving on. Tara.
Well, in my good for you category, we're both Agatha All Along and the Penguins. So I'll just skip over those and go straight to season four of My Brilliant Friend, the Italian show coming to HBO September 9th. I tried with this. I know it's very classy. I haven't read the books. I'm not going to. My garbage brain is broken. You heard me how excited I was when Dave was describing the Dr. Odyssey pitch. So clearly, I'm a Dr. Odyssey bitch. I'm not here for My Brilliant Friend. Alex.
And I had my brilliant friend on the list when I thought through, because our daughter has read all the books and raves about them and bought me one by that author that I really enjoyed. So I'm like, maybe I need to go back and look at this. But I actually couldn't bring myself to do it either for this list, though I think that answers a little bit of it for me, too. Mm-hmm. Okay, my good for you show is Lego Star Wars Rebuild the Galaxy, which premieres September 13th on Disney Plus. Look, I'm just not into Star Wars shows. I get that they're a thing. I may or may not have tried an episode of The Mandalorian with Danny when it first came out, because I think it was a pandemic and I think Baby Yoda was supposed to be pretty cute, but I don't. It's just, it's not for me.
I remember this at all.
And so, but Star Wars, I get why people like it. It's great for you. I have no begrudging of it. Lego's the same thing. The first Lego movie, really cute. I even enjoy a little Lego build every now and again myself, but not everything to me has to be Lego or Star Wars. And it just feels like everything's going in that world where it's Lego or Star Wars. And now I'm really happy for the people who love both of those things. And now they have them in one. Not for me.
I think those Lego Star Wars ones, they shit out one every week. So I don't think anybody is really looking forward to those that much. You know, I think it's like Paw Patrol Marsupials Division. And later it's like 60 episodes. Where'd this come from? It's like one of those.
Yeah. It feels like it.
Yeah. All right, Danny, what do you got?
This one was hard for me because I don't care what other people watch. What other people watch is none of my business.
Mm-hmm. Wrong.
Unless it's a show that actively makes the world worse. We're going to get to a couple of those, I think, in the next category. Mm-hmm. But when I looked through the list of premieres, one that stuck out at me is one that was, it's a show that's been revived a couple years ago, as far as I know, but I missed it. It's Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yeah.
Now hosted by Aisha Tyler instead of Drew Carey or that British guy. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's the same cast, Ryan Stiles and Colin Mochrie, Wayne Brady. All those people are forces for good in the universe, as far as I know. I don't know if any of them have been canceled or not. I'm all set with that show, but I think if you still enjoy their zany antics, then that show is good for you.
There was one night when I realized it was on Max and we watched like 7 episodes in a row of the first season of the Drew Carey version. And like, it's very repetitive, but there's also like, it made me laugh. I can't sit here and act like it didn't. They're really talented and fun.
Yeah. Like, it definitely is a Poppy Fields show in my house. If we dial past it, Dan will just be standing there, be calmed, even if he has to pee, just holding the remote. I'm like, go to the bathroom. It's right there. You can hear.
I hope Aisha Tyler is better at jumping into the improv than Drew Carey was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Drew Carey seems like a good guy from all accounts during the writer's strike, but he always stopped the show dead in its tracks. And that also contributed to this being a good for you show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First of all, you're killing me all. It's happy for you. I got a couple extras here. First is a Netflix import called Territory, starring Anna Torv. And it smells like Aussie Yellowstone from stem to stern. So if you're somebody over the age of 65 and you never leave your house except to go to the diner on Sundays to watch Fox News, I'm happy for you. And my other one, November 12th, NBC, St. Denis Medical. This is a mockumentary show, Danny, but an underfunded, understaffed Oregon hospital where blah, blah, blah is by some of the Superstore people, which I guess, but also it's also from the American Auto people, which and also the mockumentary Parks and Recreation area TV shows. I just can't anymore with them. I just, I they're too saccharine and I can't do it anymore. But happy for you. Anybody else got some more happy for yous? Tara?
The Golden Bachelorette. They're putting some old bag in the in the driver's seat instead of some old dude.
Should have called that show Bag of Bones.
Yeah.
That would have been great.
Well, I'm sure that's what it's called informally. But anyway, good for everyone, I guess.
Until Death Do We Part actually would have been a really good title for that.
Well, that didn't end up being the case for Jerry and what's-his-face. So, I mean, Gary. Yeah. He's a G-E, but he pronounces it Gary for another reason to hate that franchise. Speaking of franchises to hate, Georgie and Mandy's First Marriage coming to CBS October 17th. This is a spinoff of Young Sheldon, the prequel to The Big Bang Theory. This universe is getting too complicated for no good reason. And finally, the most happy for you show that I saw on this list, coming to Fox September 29th, season 36 of The Simpsons. Whoever is still on board with that fucking corpse, happy for you. Very happy for you.
Should have called that show Bag of Bones.
Nice.
All right, Knives Out. It's time for our last category. Shows no one should be into. Mm-hmm. And I am first. This show is a 10-episode atmospheric, character-driven psychological thriller about Eli, Billy Crystal.
That's my number one, too.
A child psychiatrist who, after recently losing his wife, Lynn, encounters a troubled young boy who seems to have a haunting connection to Eli.
The Seventh Sense.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Crystal and a psychological thriller. I just can't. I just absolutely not.
No.
And it's Apple TV, guys. So you know exactly what kind of show you're going to get.
Yep.
So I'm going to put this one in the absolutely not pile. No, thank you. Tara, anything to add?
No, I just was going to read the description and be like, who wants this? I'm going to refer up to my other category.
As
nobody
Eli
wants
digs deeper
this.
Into the hidden life of the wife he thought he knew, he soon finds Lynn haunting him from beyond the grave in Before.
Where else do you haunt people from? Jesus Christ. Who wrote
Shut
this?
Shut up and go host the Oscars again. That's what I
said. Yeah, still really.
All right, Sarah.
Coming to Fox September 24th, Murder in a Small Town, the most generic title in the world. Everything about this sounds like an AI scraped The Killing, Fortitude, Murder One, and strained it through a Northern Exposure / The Shipping News cheesecloth. Plus, it stars Rosief Sutherland, not your first choice of Sutherlands or anything else.
Sorry, did you say roast beef Sutherland?
Yes, that is what I said.
Oh.
Okay. Ross if
roast beef Sutherland.
Kristen Kreuk, Stana Cottage from Castle. I thought she was quitting acting. Mm. And, you know, cameo from CanCon Laws.
I was going to say a bunch of other Canadians.
While it too is adapted from a book series, as I'm sure I don't need to tell you, by Saskatoon's own L.R. Wright, more like wrong, it might be fine. But Detective Moves to Small Town is last person in history to figure out that small towns are more than their fair share of fucked up, then stares into middle distance for 3 hours. Plus, it's on Fox. I'm still mad about the following. This is a huge, huge nah, like sky written nah. Murder in a Small Town. Please murder yourself before arriving on Fox September 24th. Avoid. I have others, but let's see what everybody else came up with.
I just wonder if that small town maybe has any secrets.
Oh, I hope not. That would be terrible. I'm going to look at, as a backup, Brilliant Minds coming to NBC September 23rd. This is the one where Zachary Quinto is playing some version of Oliver Sacks, who did not ask for this.
Oh,
we are over Zachary Quinto.
We are, and we're even more over him since this gossip story broke that he was mean to a host at a restaurant in Toronto.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you hate to hear it. So Donna Murphy's also in this, but, you know, she'll be fine. One of the executive producers is Andy Serkis. What?
Hear me out.
Wow.
Here's how we save Zachary Quinto.
Mm-hmm.
He's made two things now that are following Leonard Nimoy's steps.
Yes.
He did Spock and he did In Search Of.
He did.
Maybe there's more. I don't know. But the one he should be doing is a new version of the TV movie Baffled.
Yes.
The car racing psychic driver, whatever the hell that was. That,
yeah,
was,
that was
absolutely
good.
100% something everybody should watch. Go back and listen to our episode about it if you haven't already.
Yep.
And then he'll be back in my good graces.
I'll concur with that. Okay, Alex.
So Tara is nicer to The Simpsons than I am because I have that The Simpsons season 36 premiering on September 9th, 29th is something no one should be into.
Correct.
Look, weekly Simpsons watchers far longer than we should have been. I think we made it somewhere up into the 20s. you know, The Simpsons is still our standard go-to sleep programming, but our bedtime going to sleep TV for The Simpsons maxes out at like season 12 and really The Simpsons itself probably should have. And not only are the storylines just not good, the voice actors like are aging and sounding like they are actively struggling while reading it. Like let poor Julie Kavner and us retire from The Simpsons, please.
Very important plea. Danny.
Tara, I am sorry, but the show that no one should be into is The Golden Bachelorette. Because
why are you sorry to me? I'm not watching it. I'm Dr. Odyssey.
Once upon a time, you folks paid me to watch and write about The Bachelorette. Mm-hmm. I am still not over it. I hate everything about that show. And I mean, it's not news that reality shows are produced, that the producers want storylines and they want certain people to advance. That's not news. I think The Bachelorette is the worst example of it. 20 seasons now, there's what, two or three couples in all that time. Nothing about that show ever made me say, you know what would make this show better if it were old people instead? The Bachelorette franchise should not exist, period.
Should have called that show Bag of Bones.
Okay, one more from Sarah, one more for Tara.
Season two of Tracker. Second season no one asked for of a show no one remembers. Is it named after that guy? I don't know or care. I can't remember anything. He has cheekbones and his name, I think, is Justin. Mm-hmm. But this is just taking up space. It's not necessary.
Isn't it the number one show right now?
It was at one time. I'm not sure if it still is.
Super pop. I mean,
it is really popular.
Not in our like crowd, all CBS but shows. It is like Yellowstone numbers. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. But on that same tip, also from CBS, NCIS:Origins. Basically, it's young Jethro. Like, cut the navel cord, CBS. You have to move on. I mean, I guess you have Tracker now, right? So, anyway, there's a lot of CBS programming that, you know, as a rapidly approaching nanodom old lady myself, it's like, okay, I see what you're doing, even though I'm not probably going to participate in most of it. But Origins? Really?
To follow on what Dave said, here are the ratings for the TV season just ended. Number one, football. Number two, football. Number three, Tracker. Number four, NCIS. So we're on the wrong side of culture, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's no,
that's, you know, always been true.
It's no mystery how these things happen. My last no one should be into is actually two, because it is Citadel:Diana coming to Prime Video October 10th. And Citadel:Honey Bunny also coming to Prime Video November 7th. I don't know how many times I have to tell everybody to stay away from this franchise. I guess at least twice more. Stop it. Citadel is the worst thing I watched the year it came out. It really, really made me mad, and I'm still kind of mad about it.
One honorable mention based on the title only. I'm not going to watch it. It is called Chestnut versus Kobayashi : Unfinished Beef.
Ew.
I hope that's an eating contest where a man faces off against a horse.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
All right. We're not doing Around the Dial because we just talked about 30 shows. So quickly, your plugs, please, starting with Tara.
I wrote about why Johnny Lawrence of Cobra Kai is right and we should be living like it's the 80s the way he does. And you can find that at Cracked. We will link it in the show notes.
Alex.
I don't have a personal plug, but I would like to use this opportunity, as I am going to be moving to your country, to try to support having better access for women's health care and abortion rights. So I would suggest donating or volunteering with organizations like Planned Parenthood. And you can visit that at weareplannedparenthoodaction.org.
Since we're on the subject, I would also like to put in a plug for National Network of Abortion Funds. Set up a monthly gift. It helps people to get directly to the help that they need if they have to leave a state to go get it. You can also find your local organization that does abortion funds. Mine is Fund Texas Choice. And if you want to throw them a few extra dollars, whether you live here or not, they could use it. So we will link those in the show notes too.
Sarah.
I put together a Watergate reader for bestevidence.fyi. There's a lot of stuff about Watergate that is considered classic that you can actually skip. But then there's also some more obscure properties, podcasts, audiobooks that you might enjoy more than the big famous stuff. So you can find that at bestevidence.fyi.
Danny.
My work at the CBC these days mostly involves editing and producing and not so much reporting, but I had a story recently about how the Newfoundland and Labrador government changed its reporting on COVID data to the effect that could not tell how many people had actually died of COVID-19 unless you had been keeping track of the stats from day one using the spreadsheet. Unfortunately for them, I had been keeping track of the stats from day one using the spreadsheet. And by the time we published our story, we were able to report that last year, after they made the change in reporting, the number of deaths was actually about 70% higher than what they'd actually publicly announced.
Jesus.
Uh-oh.
So this story was a little while ago, but I'm bringing it up because I was actually recently nominated for a national award for it, for excellence in data storytelling.
Nice.
Thank you. After the story was published, the government did change how it was reporting the data. Even more recently than the nomination, I did not win the award, but I'm proud of the story. I worked hard on it, and I'm glad to see it get a little bit of traction.
Hell yeah, get their ass.
And for our American listeners, he said CBC, not CDC. I know, given the subject matter, you might be thinking that does not work for the CDC. All right, here's what's coming up in the Extra Hot Great Cinematic Universe. This Friday, we're going to be talking about Peacock's Mr. Throwback. Tara Quigley, who's in it? What's it about?
This is Steph Curry playing himself, Adam Pally playing his old middle school friend. It is a mockumentary, but it's a real mean one. I watched all of this last week. It's very funny. Steph Curry can't act, but it's good. Plan to watch it.
And we have a bonus extra, extra hot, great episode waiting for you Tuesday, and that's going to be August 13th. It's the last of the Quentin Tarantino three of these miniseries. Sarah's going to guide us through Grave Danger on CSI. The best of the bunch, if you ask me.
I agree.
That both of those episodes will be available to club members. Go to extrahotgreat.com/club for more info and to join. And then return with us next week right here on EHG Prime for Bad Monkey. Tara Quigley.
I watched that too. It's based on a Carl Hiaasen book. Vince Vaughn plays a disgraced cop, becomes a food inspector, gets sucked into a case involving an arm that a fisherman finds when they are out fishing in the Florida Keys.
And we welcome back Allison Lohuff to talk about that one. It is time to talk about The Canon. Presenting this week is Tara Ariano.
Hello. There are plenty of shows whose purpose is to dazzle you with the complexity of their writing, move you with the caliber of their performances, and win awards for episodes that rival the sophistication of top feature films. We love, respect, and in this segment, frequently celebrate what those shows are doing. But there's a whole other swath of TV shows whose purpose is to shock you with their action set pieces, delight you with their preposterous situations, and comfort you with their essential frictionlessness, and they deserve our appreciation too. 911:Lone Star doesn't just reside in the second category, it dominates it. And here is why I think season 2, episode 6, Everyone and Their Brother, deserves to be the first Lone Star episode to be inducted into the canon. Number one, the episode's big action scene delivers both shock value and suspense. Lone Star is the first spinoff for the 911 franchise, but not, I pray, the last. And something viewers of both shows know is that they can yaw between episodes that have a huge amount of action and episodes that have almost none. A season will kick off with a multi-episode arc revolving around, for example, a tsunami obliterating the Santa Monica Pier and several miles of West Side Los Angeles, or a disastrous ice storm in Central Texas. After that budget buster, at least a couple of episodes later in the season will be taken up by some bullshit flashback telling us how a particular character came to join the fire department or whatever. In the second season of Lone Star, the big event was a volcano erupting in Austin, Texas, obviously. You would expect several snoozy episodes to ensue after that, and there are a couple, but I guess they went through the production office couch looking for change because the pyro team is back for a sequence in Everyone and Their Brother. Teen siblings Wes and Danny are out fooling around with Wes's drone when they notice it has fallen in a field. The drone cost Wes $500, so no trespassing signs be damned. They're going to crawl through the barbed wire fence and go after it. Moments later, the property owner runs out with a shotgun. Clip one.
Hey! Hey, hey! You stop right there! Stop right where you are!
Don't move!
Don't move!
Don't shoot! We just crashed our drone!
It didn't crash. He shot it.
Oh, hell, boy. I thought you was the government spying on me.
Okay, well, we're not. Okay, we're just gonna go. Sorry.
Stop! Don't move! Do not move! I'm not gonna shoot you, kid. You need to listen to me real close. All right? You boys are in a minefield. One false move, it's hasta the bye-bye. It's God's own miracle you made it to where you are without trotting on one. It's gonna be fine. Just stay where you are. I laid every last one of them myself. Hey, well, do you have a map? Map's right here. All right, I got it all up in my...
Oh, God! Oh, God!
So, introducing a libertarian crank and then making him blow up on his own mine is about as pointed as Lone Star ever gets about Texas politics. Unfortunately, Wes gets a piece of shrapnel to the femoral artery, and soon the 126 is on the scene to figure out how to get him and Danny out of the minefield. We watch Captain Owen Strand, Rob Lowe, enact his plan. He uses a ladder on the truck to crawl as far out into the field as he can above the ground, tosses a heavy bag down to make sure the spot he's going to drop is safe. Then, when he has checked it, he spray paints a circle around the safe spot for TK, Ronan Rubenstein, his son and fellow firefighter, to jump down after him as Owen continues tossing the bag ahead on the path to the boys. He has almost reached them when he tosses the bag and it explodes. There's a moment when no one on the squad knows if Owen has survived, but then the dust settles and he is fine. Is it likely that the show's going to kill Owen just when he's gotten his lung cancer into remission and been responsible for his on-again ex's geriatric pregnancy? No, it's not likely. But one of the EMTs just took a lava rock to the chest 4 episodes ago, so it's possible. However, regular viewers know that with about 1 exception per season, only bad people die on this franchise, and sometimes even they make it if it's so we can see them pay for their crimes. Sucks to be this anti-government crank sprayed all over his ranch, though. Number 2, its little action scene is probably even more memorable than the big one. I already complained about budgetary requirements making for peaks and valleys in the 911 franchise's saves, but what this episode reminds us, and as I wrote about 3 years ago at Primetimer, which we'll link in the show notes, when I made the case for 911 expanding the franchise and dropping new episodes year-round, is that a save doesn't have to involve elaborate special effects or CGI to scar a viewer for life. I am thinking of the LA episodes where a beauty influencer is going live on Instagram, pops a pimple, and a worm comes out, or the Lone Star episode when the team has to help a bachelorette party attendee who gets a tiara stuck through her cheek. The cold open of Everyone and Their Brother is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. Dispatcher Grace Sierra Alina McLean gets a call, clip 2.
Yes, help! It's my brother! He's choking! Damn it! Spit it out for him!
Hey, where are you calling from, sir?
We're at home. 2362 Greenbrier. Hurry!
Okay, paramedics are on the way to you now. You said your brother's name is Brad?
Yes.
Okay, and what's your name?
Scott.
Okay, Scott. My name is Grace. Can you tell me what your brother is choking on? What's he eating?
What wasn't he eating?
Okay, your brother's sitting upright?
Yes, we're both on the sofa.
All right, I need you to get behind him. We're going to do the Heimlich maneuver.
No, I can't.
It's okay. I'll talk you through it.
No, I can't get behind him. We're conjoined twins!
This is when the camera pulls back to show us Brad and Scott are, in fact, conjoined at the temple. Scott has to stick his hand in Brad's mouth and root around to determine that he's choking on peanut butter. He can't walk them to a railing or a countertop to do self-abdominal thrusts because Brad passes out. Scott fears he's dead. Clip 3.
Well, we don't know that. If he just stopped breathing, then he's probably got at least 3 minutes.
I should have told him happy birthday.
Hey, it's okay. You're gonna be able to.
No. We haven't spoken to each other in 2 years.
You wouldn't know by looking at us. But we're not that close.
When Scott regrets that now they'll never mend their rift, sighing, this sucks, it gives Grace an idea. Scott has to crawl, hauling Brad's dead weight with him by their conjoined heads, to the vacuum cleaner so he can use the crevice cleaner on Brad's mouth and clear his airway. Yes, there's an expense here for the prosthetics to turn these two separate twin actors into their conjoined twin characters, but it's got to be less than whatever it costs them to create the wildfires in this season's 3rd episode or a later season's melting Ferris wheel. And saves involving catastrophes we can imagine experiencing ourselves are far more harrowing than ones we can't. I don't know what it feels like to get shot, and I never plan to find out, but I sure have had terrible ankle blisters and hangnails. Small-scale saves work. Number 3. The overarching theme actually pulls in members of the 126 in emotionally resonant ways. The title lets us know what common element is threading among all our storylines. Brothers. The conjoined twins kick us off in the cold open with one extremity of how close yet complicated a brotherly relationship can be. Later on, before the downed drone distracts brothers Danny and Wes, Danny's moping that their mom's new job requires them to relocate to the Northeast. Then Wes breaks the news that their mother's already agreed to let him finish high school in Texas and live with his football coach. After Wes is rescued, it sounds like he's still planning to stay in Austin. So sorry, you have two traumas to deal with now, Danny. But that's not all. Tommy, Gina Torres, and Nancy, Brianna Baker, have to interview new candidates after their brother paramedic, Tim, was, as previously mentioned, killed by a molten lava rock in the volcano episode. Pierce, Andy Favreau, seems like he's got the job until he refuses to go into the minefield after Owen, and Tommy basically tells him he's too soft to be her family's new brother. Paul, Brian Michael Smith, gets a surprise visit from his mother Cynthia and sister Naomi, which forces him and Naomi to confront her unresolved issues around Paul's transition. Though the show is very clear in supporting Paul and his gender affirmation, it makes room for Naomi's anguish at having been too young for anyone to have properly explained Paul's transition to her, and lets her work through her lingering feelings that the sister Naomi used to have has died and that Paul was the one who killed her. By the end of the episode, Paul has acknowledged Naomi's pain, and Naomi has come around to address her brother by his current name, apparently for the first time. And since TK is played by one of the show's worst yet cutest actors, he has the lightest dramatic lift. The parents who divorced when he was a kid have found their way back to each other, and somehow Owen's irradiated sperm and Gwyneth's, Lisa Edelstein, old-ass egg have combined to make a fetus that took. Possibly because TK is pushing 30 at this point and Owen assumes he can handle it all, Owen is not being particularly sensitive in the way he's discussing the pregnancy, as when he asks TK to take on Owen's power of attorney, clip 4.
Going under the knife in 2 weeks.
What? Is everything okay?
Everything's great.
That last cancer surgery, you've been all over me to schedule.
Finally doing it. So hopefully I'll wake up a couple weeks from now cancer free. This is precaution.
Formality, really?
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, of course I'll sign it. But why not mom?
I think we've signed enough over to your mother already.
Just date it here. You know, I've been on you about this for months. What made you change your mind?
I am going to be a father.
You're already a father. TK makes the healthy decision to put a little more distance between himself and Owen by applying for the open EMT job on Tommy's team. And by the end of the episode, he's come around enough to be at the sonogram where Owen and Gwyneth find out that TK's about to have all together now. Brother. This song might sound like play school shit for new viewers. But franchise fans know that a C, D, or E plot about a squad member could be something more like Mateo can't study because his roommates are too loud, or the teen son Judd never knew he had is a vegetarian. So compared to what we often get, the squad plot lines of everyone and their brother are actually pretty deep, trust me. 911 Lone Star is not on the level of The Americans or The Sopranos, but it's also not trying to be. It's trying to entertain you with astonishing feats of first responding and occasionally touch the dumbest part of your heart with its first responders' personal stories. Everyone and their brother does both to perfection, and that's why you should induct it into the canon on pain of being lured to try your luck in my backyard minefield. Everyone in Texas has one.
Thank you, Tara. All right, let's start with our guests. And let's start with Alex. Alex, what do you think?
I'll say I wasn't sure coming into this how I was going to vote, and I'm still not quite sure how I'm going to go. I think there was aspects of it that I enjoyed, and I think you talked about them. Like, I thought the conjoined twins bit, while I was like, where is this going? But then when he talked about, yeah, it might surprise you, we're not close, we haven't spoken in 2 years, I was like, okay, I get that. That's pretty good. Like, I could see where it was going after that. And I appreciate the piece you talked about with the actor who played TK. I turned to Danny at one point when I watched that. I was like, that's got to be one of Rob Lowe's kids, right? Like, that's how he has this gig. And it's not.
No.
I looked it up this morning. It's not. No. I would have sworn it was.
His kids write on the show. They're not on it. Just one. Sorry. One of his sons.
I always like, Sarah, how you look at if you're going to, is it something you make you want to watch another episode? And that for me, I'm even sort of in the middle because I didn't want to watch another episode of that, but I wanted to watch the episode with the lava ball, like, or the lava rock. Like,
yeah.
That's what I wanted. So I might go back and try another one of those. So I think I'm happy to hear and mull and hear other comments and reflection, but I'm on the fence because I can see both sort of ways of it.
All right, Danny, way to go.
Something that Alex didn't mention, but I think is probably relevant to this discussion, is this was the first episode of 911 Lone Star that either of us have ever watched. Obviously, you guys have talked a lot about it on the show. We want to check it out for ourselves. I was entertained throughout. You talked about the second category that the show is in, and it was interesting to watch a show like this that I haven't watched in a long, long time. A show where it doesn't matter if you've never seen a show, you are going to get filled in with over-explained dialogue to situate you. You're going to know, as you know, I am your father. Like, it's not quite that bad, but you know what I mean? So you're like, okay, his dad and his mom are back together again. They're having a baby. Like, you're filled in. All the details are filled in. Part of the fun of a show like this is trying to predict where something is going to happen. The opening bit with the conjoined twins, it's very noticeable that you're not seeing the brother choking. So you're thinking to yourself, what's happening here? And then moments before he says, I'm conjoined, you're like, oh, they're conjoined twins. Sure enough. as soon as the prepper said, hang on, boys, you know, we'll get you out of there. I got the map up here in my mind. You said, oh, that guy's blowing up real good. Kaboom. Mm-hmm. And they don't waste any time doing it. I have an idea where I'm going to vote, but I want to hear a little bit more from Dave, who is also a 911 Lone Star aficionado, and I will be making my decision.
All right.
After
I don't think Sarah's ever watched Sarah either, so I don't know if you should. Right.
I'll go next. Everybody shut up. I'm going next. Tara, why not the volcano episode is my question.
Because this was the one I just remembered more because of the minefield and the conjoined twins.
Like Alex said, I wrote down the line where it wasn't a criterion for me that I had to want another episode, watch another episode of this show. For me, it was going to be enough if I was not unhappy that I watched this episode, and that if an opportunity came up, like you're in a hotel between the ceremony and the reception, and it's on, I'll watch it.
That's a lot of qualifiers for the candidate.
Jesus. Yeah.
Okay. Danny says, I want to maybe like it, but not necessarily. And if I'm at a hotel and a different episode's on, who knows what might happen? The canon. The first half of everything you said is why the show is great. The second half of everything you said is why the show is frustrating to me, is because I want volcano episodes 24/7. The volcano episode is stem to stern, what the fuck. And it's the episode that probably I would have put up.
Stem to stern, what the fuck.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
The interpersonal details of the station staff and what they're doing at home with their family, don't give a shit. And this episode is half of that, so I'm not voting for it. But if you liked the minefield part and you like the conjoined twins exceptional cult open, there's more of that in other episodes for sure. And some of the early episodes of this series, even the pilot was pretty fucking balls to the walls. The volcano mini golf episode, also one to watch out for. And then the show tapers off slowly after this time and becomes more and more sort of interpersonal stuff and less about the Gonzo stuff. The formula changes, the mix changes. But if you like those two parts, I would definitely tell you to watch the mini golf episode. But this one was like half a canon for me. Sarah.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am. I am not mad that I watched it, but I had no desire to watch anything else, not even volcano, lava, rock, fun times. I was not bored, but the problem is that it's just like seesawing back and forth. Like, there's the conjoined twins bit, and then you have this storyline with Paul and his family that I think is something that is important to see and hear about on TV, just kind of like in passing as an issue and a conflict between characters and families. But the acting in that section of the story was so bad. I mean, there was a lot of it. Like, the acting's horrible. Such big portions. It wasn't the worst acting in the episode, but it really was like, you know, on the one hand, this is a like super exciting rescue and there's a minefield and there was just a giblet shower, like it's the boys and it's processy. But then here's another problem on the acting side. Like, I understand what this show is and I don't need a bunch of like legit thespionics, but the problem is that a couple of people in the cast can actually fucking act. And every time Gina Torres is in a scene, you're like, oh, this is how you do this. She's always perfectly calibrated. She's not making anybody else look bad. But you get to the end of the scene and you're like, nobody else could sell that scene. And then it's another scene with a bunch of people who are kind of incompetent at acting. And you're like, oh God. So I don't know exactly what to do either, because I think based on the criteria of the presentation, I think this is probably the best example of the show. Like, it is the most Like, maybe it's not the best episode, but it's the most, like the Ne+ Ultra. But that's still kind of bad. So are we talking about quality here? Are we talking about typicality? I mean, you just never know what's going to happen and what axes we're going to be voting on when it comes right down to it. So I'm hoping other people take me off the hook. Let's vote.
All right, let's put this to the official vote. Alex Collins, what say you?
Appreciate the presentation. I'm going to go back and watch the Lava Rock episode.
She appreciates the presentation.
Uh-oh. I do. A lot of work goes into these presentations. But I'm going to vote no.
Tara's presentations are always excellent.
They are.
Compared to mine, she's got the Eiffel Tower and I got like a pile of rocks with some scotch tape over them.
It's so good. Like,
you're all voting no.
Nice try.
Please vote and then make sure to say something nice about Tara afterwards.
Please do.
Tara, I also appreciated the presentation. And in a lot of ways, I'm a simple man. And I am voting yes.
Hey!
Sarah D. Bunting.
Well, I don't know. I feel like the canon is as much about Ne+ Ultra as it is about actual quality. And, you know, Gina Torres was good. And like I said, I wasn't bored. And it was a good presentation, so I'm going to vote yes.
All right.
Good luck, Dave.
First of all, 911 Lone Star, this is not the best it has to offer, nor is it the craziest it has to offer. So this isn't the most 911 Lone Star. I know you said that, Sarah, but I will tell you.
The most that I'm going to watch. So
okay. So mad.
Well, so mad. Until I try again with the Lava Rock episode.
Yeah, the Lava Rock episode is fucking great. I'm telling you, we're going to go back to the Lava Rock episode. You'll be like, oh, okay, we'll see. I see what a stinking pile of shit this other one was in comparison to the Lava Rock episode. That's what you'll be saying. Anyways, I'm going to vote no too. But I'm telling you, if you've been listening and those two parts, your ears did pick up like, oh, I like that bit. Oh, we got some more for you. So that does mean it's 2-2, but unfortunately, ties do go to the no camp. So 911 Lone Star, Season 2, Episode 6, Everyone and Their Brother. We are hereby not inducted into the extra hot gray canon.
Americans love a winner.
Yup.
And will not tolerate a loser.
Nope.
All right, Tara, who is our winner of the week?
Well, first of all, I was expecting a minor key. That's not what I like about Texas, but since I didn't get it.
I was waiting for that.
You don't get it if it loses.
I said sad.
I don't know how to do that.
I know you don't. My winner is, guess what? Jackson Pace, because he was promoted to 911 Lone Star for season 5. This is the kid who plays Judd's aforementioned vegetarian long-lost son. He is getting this even though Sierra Aleena McLean, who plays Grace, his stepmother, is not going to be coming back. There's a lot of rumors that the show is ending with season 5, and the fact that she, one of the only good actors on the show, is also not coming back suggests that that's the case. But, I mean, good for Jackson Pace, but bullshit. Grace is a better character.
And loser of the week?
Speaking of bullshit, British crank Lawrence Fox has now been sued by drag queen Nikki Doll over pedophilia claims made by Fox regarding the Olympics opening ceremony. Get him, Nikki. These fucking weirdos need to learn to zip it and think about something else.
Yep.
Speaking about thinking about something else, do you know what time it is?
It's game time.
It's game time. All right, this is the 8th game of the season. Our scores are Tara 4, could win it all today, Sarah 2, value guess 1. Today we're playing Extra Connect. From Seth, who earns himself an extra credit topic of his choosing, plus a free shirt from the EHG store on throughmethods.com. Seth has been watching the brain-twisting British quiz show Only Connect. He says it's absurdly difficult, especially because so many questions pertain to British infrastructure and radio. But he asks, what if it was instead all about television? Hence today's game, Extra Connect. In round one, you're going to need to identify the commonality across 4 items. In round two, you will need to complete the pattern after 3 items. You're going to be working in pairs to figure things out. And every 8 questions, I'm going to shuffle the teams.
Oh,
you
shit.
Are still playing for individual glory.
Okay.
But you get to work every question with somebody else.
Okay.
If you get 4 points, each of you get 4 points for that question.
Okay.
The more clues you need, right, the less points you will get, however. After the first clue, 4, then 3, then 2, then 1 after the fourth clue. You can guess after every clue, Sarah D. Bunting.
Thank you.
If you do not get it after all the clues are exhausted, the other team will get a chance to steal. Seth notes this game is mildly deranged, so take some wild guesses, and I would say that is good advice.
Okay.
We've got 24 questions for you today, no Grocer's Equalizer Challenge Zones, and no steel meals because they're already built into the game.
Yep.
Are we ready to play Extra Connect?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Our first teams are Tara and Sarah versus Danny and Alex.
I'd like to change teams, please.
You will get to change teams. Don't worry about it. So first question is for Tara and Sarah.
Yes.
The first item is Ray Liotta. Ray Liotta.
On TV.
And if you're stumped, just ask for the next clue.
People were in shows with J-Lo.
Norm MacDonald. Ray Liotta, Norm MacDonald.
Guys from Jersey.
Ray Liotta, Norm MacDonald, Reba McEntire.
People who played the title character on their shows?
Ray Liotta, Norm MacDonald, Reba McEntire, Jim Gaffigan. All have something common to do with television. Ray Liotta, Norm MacDonald, Reba McEntire, Jim Gaffigan. They don't get this. It's to Danny and Alex to steal.
They all played themselves in TV?
Incorrect. To McEachern and Collins. Any idea here?
I was going to say fictionalized versions of themselves, except I don't know if Ray Liotta did that. Do you have anything?
Never going to be that broad, just so you know.
It was on like CMT or something? I don't know.
They all did pitches for anti-smoking medication.
That is the closest to the correct answer we have had. It is not correct. These are all celebrities who portrayed Colonel Sanders in KFC commercials.
Oh, my God. Really? Oh,
shit.
Wow.
Correct.
Wow. I didn't know Liotta did.
Also,
that's
Rob
crazy.
Lowe from Lone Star 911.
Sure.
Was Billy Zane. Vincent Kartheiser. Yeah, all of them. All right. Wow. Now it's Danny and Alex's first question. Your first item is Jerry Doggett. Jerry Doggett.
Do you know who that is?
Nope.
Okay, next question. Or next.
Do you know who that is?
The name sounds familiar, but I don't know. So
you said that like you were testing her, but you wouldn't let her know if you knew, which is not how teams work. Jerry Doggett, John Doggett.
All right. John Doggett is the Robert Patrick character from The X-Files. People who replaced somebody like a series original? Something like that?
Jerry Doggett, John Doggett, Hitchcock.
Like Hitchcock from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, maybe.
Uh-huh.
So what else was he in?
He was in Big Love. Or was that the other guy? Anyway, next one.
All right, here's your last clue. If you don't get it, we're going to go to Tara and Sarah to steal. Jerry Doggett, John Doggett, Hitchcock, Fox Mulder. Jerry Doggett, John Doggett, Hitchcock, Fox Mulder. All have what in common?
Abducted by aliens?
Siblings who abducted by aliens? Yeah.
There you go.
Incorrect to Tara and Sarah for the steal if they can. Jerry Doggett, John Doggett, Hitchcock, Fox Mulder.
They were alien abductees?
Is that your answer?
Sure.
Jerry Doggett, John Doggett, Hitchcock, and Fox Mulder are all partners of a Scully.
Oh, God.
Fox Mulder, John Doggett, Dana Scully.
Oh,
Hitchcock,
my God.
And Scully from Brooklyn
are.
Nine-Nine.
Damn
and Jerry
it.
Doggett was a longtime announcing partner of Vince Scully on television. All right, no points so far. We're back to Tara and Sarah.
Okay.
First item, clock. Clock.
Things Flavor Flav wears around his neck.
Clock. Amulet. Clock. Amulet.
Stuff on Dora the Explorer.
Clock. Amulet. Anira box. Clock, amulet, Anira box. Passing? Next clue?
I don't know. Yep.
Yep. Clock, amulet, Anira box, Mueller device.
Rambaldi devices?
Rambaldi devices from Alias is correct for 1 point.
Yay!
Tara and Sarah both get 1 point there. Back to Danny and Alex. Adam Scott and Harrison Schick.
He was exes of Reese Witherspoon characters. I'm just thinking of Adam Scott on Big Little.
Adam Scott and Harrison Schick.
Flies.
Followed by Richard Beamer and Robert Bauer.
I can't help but feel it would help if I knew who all of these people were instead of just one or two of them at a time. Any idea, Alex?
None.
All right, next one.
Adam Scott, Harrison Schick, Richard Beamer, Robert Bauer, Lauren Green, and Michael Landon.
Lauren Green as in L-O-R-N-E Green?
Lauren Green, that's correct.
Yes.
Lauren Green and Michael Landon. Played Angels.
All right, last clue. Adam Scott, Harrison Schick, Richard Beamer, Robert Bauer, Lauren Green, Michael Landon, and Avery Brooks and Sir Rock Lofton.
I don't know. Actors who played older and younger versions of the same character?
Incorrect. Goes to Tara and Sarah for a possible steal.
Actors who played father and son? Shit!
You are correct, but it gets more detailed than that.
Oh, okay.
In Westerns?
Ben's sons. Actors who play Ben or Benjamins and their son.
This is not the first time that you've done that with the fucking Cartwrights, and I really should have twigged to it.
This is Seth's game. I'm just a messenger. All right, back to Tara and Sarah.
Yep.
Jessalyn Gilsig.
Yep.
Is your first item.
Blondes from Glee.
Jessalyn Gilsig and Elizabeth Mitchell.
Mitchell.
Played social workers?
I don't know.
Jessalyn Gilsig, Elizabeth Mitchell, Kristen Johnson.
Blonde doctors?
Last clue.
Okay.
Jessalyn Gilsig, Elizabeth Mitchell, Kristen Johnson, Diana Muldar. You are correct. Actors who portray characters that fell to their death from Nip Tuck from a balcony during sex, from Lost, The Hatch, Sex in the City, Window, the title of that episode is Splat, LA Loft, The Elevator Shaft.
Mm-hmm.
All right, back to Danny and Alex. Item number one is 1-2, 1974 to 1983.
Baseball documentaries.
Incorrect. So your first item was 1-2, 74 to 83. Item number two is 2-3, 1983 to 1992.
I wanted something with that. Some sort of documentary chapters thing, I think, maybe.
Or time jump between seasons on some sort of 2-3.
Maybe. Yeah, you know, that could be it.
We're going to get to the next one, and it's just going to be 3-4, and it's going to be another couple of years, and we're still not going to know.
Well, you can guess at every level.
It's going to be like 10 years again. Yeah, 9 years. They're 9-year chunks.
No. Gaps between, what's that documentary series, the British documentary series, where it kept, no, that was 7-year gaps, wasn't it? I don't know.
All right, I'm going to buzz you for time. The next one. Answer.
Yeah, go.
Yeah.
3-4, 1995 to 2003.
I can't think of what show it would be, but it is, it's got to be something like that where it jumps time.
Can guess here, and you still have one more clue I'm going to give you. All right, I'm going to move on to the last one here. 4-5, 2003 to 2012. So while I think about it, I'll remind everybody listening, we've got 1-2, 1995 1974 to 1983, 2 to 3, 1983 to 1992, 3 to 4, 1995 to 2003, and finally, 4 to 5, 2003 to 2012. They all have something in common. What are they?
I got nothing, Alex.
I don't know. I can't come up with it.
All right, they've passed on this one. Tara thinks she knows. You can confer. You can give a conferred answer.
Oh, we've been conferring.
Okay.
Thank you to Danny for the assist. This is the time jump from the end of each season of For All Mankind.
You are absolutely correct. Time jumps between seasons of For All Mankind.
Damn it. Mm-hmm. I watched that.
Yeah, I don't.
All right, back to Tara and Sarah.
Yes.
Damn it.
Your first clue is Broadway musical, brackets, five letters.
Smash. Oh. Crossword clues.
Your second is to puncture, six letters. Broadway musical, five letters. To puncture, six letters.
Well, it's Pierce. Is it crossword clues?
Third clue, Broadway musical, five letters. To puncture, six letters. Water filter that starts with B.
Characters on Community?
I'm going to give you that one.
Woo!
Members of the community study group.
Yeah.
Helen of was your last clue. So this is going to be a 2-point answer there. These are the clues formatting come directly from the closing scene of the 14th episode of the first season where Troy and Abed are solving a meta-textual crossword puzzle.
Good job, Sarah.
Nicely done, Sarah. All right. Here is our next one for Danny and Alex. Jorah Mormont. Jorah Mormont is your first item.
Here we freaking go.
No, he's just making up words. He's making up words now.
I tell you what, I'm going to make this a little easier for you on this one, okay? Jorah Mormont from Game of Thrones.
Okay. I'd like to say that helps.
Yeah.
Relatable.
Characters who committed incest.
Jorah Mormont, Game of Thrones. Eddie Horniman, The Gentleman. Jorah Mormont, Game of Thrones. Eddie Horniman,
next.
The Gentleman. Next, Finn Polmar, The Good Wife.
Yeah.
Alex, you watch The Good Wife? Who is that guy?
Yeah, the Matthew Good characters.
Last clue. Jorah Mormont, Game of Thrones. Eddie Horniman, The Gentleman. Finn Polmar, The Good Wife. And David Haller,
let's
or Haller, I'm not sure how
enough.
It's pronounced. H-A-L-L-E-R. From Legion.
British actors playing non-British people.
Incorrect. Goes to the other team for a steal.
Do you want to go that specific,
T-Bone?
Yeah, go
for T-Bone? It. No, go for it.
All right. Lovers of... guys who also played Lovers of Lady Mary on Downton?
You are correct. Paramours of Lady Mary Crawley on Downton Abbey as identified by other roles they have played. Ian Glenn. Theo James, Matthew Good, and Dan Stevens.
Sure.
All right. Team switch up. Change places.
Bye, Sarah.
All right.
Bye.
We now have Danny McEachern and Sarah Bunting versus Tara and Alex.
Okay.
We're starting with Danny and Sarah for their first clue.
Good luck.
Don't fuck it up.
Getty Watanabe.
Okay. Closer.
Any guesses there?
No.
Tim Baltz. Tim Baltz. B-A-L-T-Z.
No, I got nothing.
He's on the Righteous Gemstones.
Okay.
I don't know who Getty Watanabe is.
That's a... he was a 16 Candles, but that's not helping me. Next clue, please.
Tilda Swinton.
People who played octopuses on TV? I don't know.
Final clue. John Hamm. Quite a list. But what do they have in common?
What do they have in common?
Huh.
Well, I just don't know. I'm sorry, Danny.
Any wild guess you want to put it there, McKechnie?
Characters on shows with jewelry in the title.
Incorrect. Goes to Tara and Alex for a steal.
I mean, they've all been voice actors, but that's not specific enough, so I don't know.
Is that your answer?
They all have the same haircut.
You are on the right track, Tara. They have all voiced commodes. Voices from a commode. Either toilets directly or something in the toilet. In Tilda Swinton's from Phantasmas, she voiced the water in a toilet.
She sure did.
So that was from Gede Watanabe from The Simpsons, Better Call Saul, Tim Baltz, Phantasmas, and John Hamm as the toilet from Bob's Burgers.
Yes.
Gede Watanabe was pleased to accept your waste.
All right, Tara, Alex, first clue.
Yep.
When you jerk off so much, your dick gets all red and sore.
Okay.
When you jerk off so much, your dick gets all red and sore.
Well, it's from Big Mouth.
Number two. When you run your finger around a guy's ass while you jerk the guy off into his own mouth.
Oh, from the... Oh my God, I had it.
Talk to Tara first. She probably will help you.
Okay. It's like a list. It's going back and forth of like names for something. Like there, it's there's like a thing that you do, and this is all the things that it can be. Oh, no, it's not helping.
Guessing what a euphemism actually is.
Yes. Yeah, it's from a show. There's a euphemism, and they all, I don't know if it's Big Mouth, maybe, but they all start saying what they think that thing is.
So got two clues.
Oh my God.
All right, gonna give you the next clue.
Okay.
Take a scuba snorkel and put the dick in the bendy mouth part, and then you sneak the other end up your back address, and then you shove the snorkel up your ass and jerk yourself off at the same time.
This has to be Big Mouth.
What is this?
But I don't know what it is that they're trying to guess.
I don't think it...
It's that or Silicon Valley
or something.
It's Big
Mouth.
I have no
idea. I think it's something else.
I don't know.
No, it's... Oh my God, I can picture it. I just cannot...
Last clue?
Come up with it. They're defining what is it that they're calling? It's... Keep going,
When you take a girl out for a huge dinner, then you don't let her go to the can. Then you have anal sex with her and she poops all over your dick. Right when you pull out, you rub the shit that's on her back. That's the rusty part.
Is this all things that Jay thinks are sex acts in Big Mouth?
Incorrect. We go to Sarah and Danny.
This is from the Venture Brothers. You guys have played it on the show.
Oh, yeah.
They're stealing.
Okay.
Wait, I need to get it right, though. They need to tell me what it is. What these are
I
all
help,
have in
so
common.
I know it now.
Give me as much detail as you can, and I'll ding you a buzzion if I'm feeling generous or not here.
It's something that they name a sex act after one of the characters, and everybody's defining what they think it is. And I think it's one of the Venture, like the kids, but I can't think of the rest of it.
That's pretty close. I'm going to give that to you. Various definitions of a rusty venture
rusty
from
venture.
The Vester, Venture.
Rusty
Brothers.
Venture.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'll probably bleep out a lot of that, like they did on the broadcast version of the show. But maybe I don't know. It's a long episode so far. All right, back to Danny and Sarah for your next full question. First item, I am all in. I am all in.
Catchphrases of game shows?
I don't know.
I am all in and prison breaking.
I got nothing. You?
I am all in, prison breaking, Zach to the future.
Is this Saved by the Bell shit?
Nope. I am all in, prison breaking, Zach to the future.
Here it is.
Fake doctors, real friends.
Oh, that's not what I thought you were going to say.
It was like fake TV shows from 30 Rock or something.
I'm going to let you confer for this. Your final answer.
Doctors, real friends, I am all in. Pri- Prison breaking.
Prison breaking.
I mean, that's as good a guess as any. I don't.
All right. What was the answer, please?
Can't get to it.
Fake TV shows from 30 Rock.
Steal to Tara and Alex.
TV recap podcasts, possibly only on iHeartRadio.
I'll give you that. Celebrity cast rewatch podcast. Yes. That was Gilmore Girls, Prison Break, Saved by the Bell, and Scrubs. Tara and Alex, your first clue is Zapped. 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 WCW Monday Nitro.
Are these shows that were on Spike?
Zapped. WCW Monday Nitro. The Lonely Island's Laser Cats.
Are these web series?
Last clue. Zapped. WCW Monday Nitro. The Lonely Island's Laser Cats. And Sirens.
These are on USA? USA shows.
Steal to Sarah and Danny.
Fuck.
Zapped.
Zapped like the Scott Baio movie?
Zapped. I can't get that out of my head either.
Monday Nitro. Lonely Island's Laser Cats. Sirens.
I mean,
what do they all have in common?
They were on the UPN.
The titles of all those properties contain names of gladiators from American Gladiators original run. Zap,
sure.
To Nitro, Laser, and Siren. Back to Danny and Sarah. Gingerbread Dad. Gingerbread Dad.
Nope.
Creations on Great British Bake Off.
Yeah. Gingerbread Dad in Satan's Shoes. Gingerbread Dad in Satan's Shoes. What do they have in common?
Episode titles from Once Upon a Time.
That's a good guess. Pretty good guess. Gingerbread Dad in Satan's Shoes. The Chemistry of Evil.
Titles from Giles's Library on Buffy.
Gingerbread Dad in Satan's Shoes. The Chemistry of Evil. Metastasis. Gingerbread Dad in Satan's Shoes.
Breaking Bad episode titles. How do we feel about that? Yes.
Sure.
That.
I don't have anything better.
That is incorrect. Over to Alex and Tara for a potential 1 point steal.
Are you okay with this guess?
Yep.
Doctor Who episodes.
Breaking Bad episode titles was pretty close. These are alternative foreign titles for the show Breaking Bad.
No, really?
Yep.
Wow.
Gingerbread is slang for meth in the Czech Republic.
Crazy.
And in Satan's Shoes, yeah, Chemistry of Evil. And then Metastasis is a remake of Breaking Bad, but it's the same. That's the title.
Interesting.
All right. Tara and Alex.
Yes.
Alex Hirsch. Alex Hirsch.
Well, Disney Channel creators.
Alex Hirsch, Dean Norris.
Bald authors.
Dominic Chianese.
Bald singers.
Alex Hirsch, Dean Norris, Dominic Chianese, Walton Goggins.
Oh, uncles. They all played uncles.
They all played uncles. Yes, Grunkle Stan from Gravity Falls.
Yeah.
Uncle Daddy from Claws, that's Dean Norris. The Sopranos, of course. Uncle Junior. And then Uncle Baby Billy on The Righteous Gemstones.
Yeah.
Nice 1 point grab there. All right. This is our last question of round one. It is for Danny and Sarah. Isabel and Max Evans. Isabel and Max Evans.
Okay. Adoptive siblings.
Isabel and Max Evans and Sarah and Adam Braverman.
Siblings in shows with single word titles.
Isabel and Max Evans, Sarah and Adam Braverman, Amy and Bright Abbott.
Amy and Bright Abbott. Okay, so we have,
People played siblings,
Oh no, that doesn't work. Because I thought one of them was played, I thought like, oh, they're all Chris's, but that wasn't a Chris. They just played a Chris, Jason Bear, Chris.
People who played siblings but were romantically involved, is that a thing? I don't know.
Depends. Let's see who they roll out for the last set of siblings. I can't.
Was there a guess there? Sorry, just so I can.
Siblings who are romantically involved, why not?
I'm going to give you that. Actors of these sibling characters dated, married in real life. I think you got to the answer unwittingly, but he still gave me the answer. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give you that for 2 points each.
And the boy who nobody wanted just won the Super Bowl.
Graham and Peter
Krause. What was the last one?
What was the last one?
Get into it.
Okay, sir.
Van Camp and Chris Pratt, Jennifer Carpenter, Michael C. Hall.
Sure.
From Dexter, Deborah and Dexter.
Barf.
All right. Round two is upon us. I'm giving you up to 3 clues. You have to complete the pattern. So the answer you're giving me is going to be the 4th in the pattern.
Okay.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Wherever you think you got it, you have to extrapolate to the 4th to give me the answer. Mm. This will be the last question before we mix up the teams again.
Okay.
It is for Tara and Alex. Your first clue is Romeo. Romeo. Romeo.
Bow Wow.
Romeo Sierra. Romeo Sierra.
Mm-mm.
Next clue.
No.
Romeo Sierra Tango.
Oh, Sierra Tango. What comes?
Lima?
Lima is correct. Why is it Lima?
Because it's RSTLNE. It's the letters. These are the phonetic, whatever it's called. The army.
Yeah, but why is it Lima?
Yeah.
Because.
Instead of uniform.
Yeah, RSTLNE from Wheel of Fortune.
That's right. The Wheel of Fortune letters in order through the NATO alphabet. Romeo, Sierra, Tango, Lima, and then E.
So how many points is
that? That is 2 points because it goes 4-3-2, and then there is no one in this one.
Okay.
All right. We are changing teams. Change places for the last time.
Wait, they don't get one of those?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, it's just the way the cookie crumbled with Matt. Fair enough. Sorry.
Seth.
Sarah and Alex. Tara and Danny.
Good luck.
Sarah and Alex, here you go. E. Peter. E. Peter.
Nope. Next one.
No. S. Mike. E. Peter. S. Mike.
Brady Bunch kids? Something to do with that?
Oh, yeah. No, you have to complete the pattern, so.
E. Peter. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Remember, you're giving me the 4th in the pattern.
Right. So who's N? And who's W? I mean, I guess we get the same points no matter when we guess.
Well, if you answer now, you're going to get 3. If I give you the next clue, you're going to get 2.
All right. Is Carol North? Let's just hear the next clue.
Do you want to take it
right?
Answers are free. Answers.
Okay,
are
I don't
free.
Remember who's. Well, all right, so I'm gonna say W. Jan.
That's your
That's
answer.
Correct. Yes.
Next clue is W. Jan.
Go for it.
Fuck you. all right, so it's Carol, right? At the top?
Carol. Yeah, Carol.
All right, that's what and I'm Carol.
And Carol is correct.
Nice.
Yes, Carol.
2 points. Yeah. Tara and Danny, Stern, Lockhart, and Gardner.
Oh, God.
Stern, Lockhart, and Gardner.
Reddick, Bozeman, Lockhart?
Lockhart, Gardner, and Bond. Stern, Lockhart, and Gardner. Lockhart, Gardner, and Bond.
Just Reddick?
Shit. Stern, Lockhart, and Gardner. Lockhart, Gardner, and Bond. Lockhart, Gardner. Lockhart, Gardner is your third.
Okay, Reddick, Bozeman. Fuck! Huh.
What were you trying to get at?
The various law firms in the good universe. Good
yeah, this is the
wife.
Chronological sequence of firms that employed Alicia Florek on The Good Wife.
Oh, God, okay.
So the correct answer is Florek Agos.
Florek Agos, yeah.
Although technically also would have accepted Lockhart Gardner and Caning, or Canning, as the subsequent mocking. Blah, blah, blah. All right. Sarah and Alex, your first item, complete the pattern, is marbles. Marbles.
Marble. I have no guess.
Marbles.
Do you have a guess? Next clue, please.
Yeah, next one.
Marbles, tug of war.
Marbles, tug of war. I'm sure it's like some...
Like Jack's, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have a specific guess. Do you have an idea? Guesses are free, like Dave said.
I love to say that.
Let's go with like Jack's, I don't know. Maybe like
marbles, tug of war, sugar honeycombs. Complete the pattern. Marbles, tug of war, sugar honeycombs. What is the fourth item?
I have absolutely no idea.
It's a tough one.
Yeah, I can't think of it.
Steel.
No.
To Tara and Danny.
Okay, it's the game where you're running and then... Oh, it's like red light, green light. Red light, green light.
Red light, green light, why?
Because those are Squid Games in reverse order.
That's right. Squid Games in reverse order, starting with marbles. Back to the first one, red light, green light.
Good job.
I will point out we weren't given a chance to steal last time, I don't think, but...
Yeah, I wondered that too.
I'm sorry. The end of the last one.
Give them two points.
I didn't think we were steel milling anymore. I didn't think we were steel milling because I was like, I knew it.
Yeah, my bad.
Okay. Well, let's give them two then.
Sure. Okay. Cooperation. Tara, Danny, your first item is Dr. Bunsen Honeydew. Dr. Bunsen Honeydew.
Characters with. Oh, no, wait.
Yeah, but it's. I don't know what's at the end.
Do the order.
The order. Okay. Next. Yeah. Next.
Skipper the Eye Child.
Next?
Yeah, next. No guesses. Skipper the Eye Child?
No.
Horatio Kane. Dr. Bunsen Honeydew. Skipper the Eye Child. Horatio Kane.
Well, something about glasses.
All right, once again.
Jeffrey Lenscrafter. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
All right, to Sarah and Alex to steal for 2 points. Once again, you have Dr. Bunsen Honeydew, Skipper the Eye Child, Horatio Kane. Complete
Skipper the... Do you know who Skipper the Eye Child is?
I guarantee you most of the people on this panel know what it is. They just have forgotten.
Sarah doesn't, though.
Probably not Sarah.
No.
Skipper the Eye Child.
Bunsen Honeydew.
Yeah. Skipper the Eye Child, Horatio King. Complete the pattern. Anything coming to mind?
Anything. No, sorry.
Neither.
How many eyes does Dr. Bunsen Honeydew have?
Oh.
None.
How many eyes does you think Skipper the Eye Child has?
Oh,
from Garth Marenghi's Dark Place.
Sounds like he probably has one.
How many eyes does Horatio Kane have? to any character with three eyes would work here. Three-eyed Raven, Nibbler, Blinky the Fish from The Simpsons, something like
fuck.
That.
Gotcha. Okay.
All right. Back to Sarah and Alex for this next set. Complete the pattern. Law and Order Special Victims Unit.
Okay. Next, please.
Homicide, Life on the Street.
CSI Miami.
Law and Order Special Victims Unit. Homicide, Life on the Street. Law and Order. Original Ray's Mothership.
I thought it might be like geographic, but it's not. Law and Order is the same.
Ooh. Okay, so SVU.
Homicide.
Homicide.
Mothership.
Law and Order. Ugh. Is this like something with the John Munchiverse?
Sorry, do you want an extra hint? Do I have permission from the crowd for an extra hint?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure.
Sure.
Seven possible answers to complete the pattern here.
Okay, so I think it is the John Munch universe.
You have to complete the pattern.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, so... okay.
Law and Order, SVU, Homicide, Law and Order, and what? Letter. Seven
Law
possible
order
answers.
What? Ugh. I mean, I feel like I'm getting stuck on the chronology of it. Law and Order SVU.
I know, me too.
Homicide. Law and Order. Oh. Unless it's the Orbach verse. No, that can't be right.
No, I don't.
Oh,
I think it's...
my God.
All right, gonna need an answer. Yeah, 1 in 7.
Anything? Otherwise, I'll just blurt out saying elsewhere and hope it's...
Can we do another Law and Order, like Law and Order, you know, the trial by jury or something? Did he do that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
Law and Order trial by jury?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Correct.
Nice.
Descending sequence of shows with the most appearances by Detective John Munch, with 7 shows featuring 1 episode with the character. They are X-Files, The Beat, Law and Order trial by jury, Arrested Development, The Wire, 30 Rock, or Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. And Sesame Street 2, I think, kind of untechnically, but whatever.
I'll put
that in there.
Nice work, Alex.
We are 3 questions away from the end, so why not a score break?
Danny has 5. Alex has 10. I have 12. Sarah has 15.
All right, let's get back to it. 3 more. We've got Tara and Danny with the opener, Shirley Jackson. Shirley Jackson is your first item.
Mm-hmm.
Looking for the 4th item in the pattern.
Thinking of it, and don't call me Shirley.
I think this is authors of books Homer has thrown in a fire, but let's see where this goes.
Item number 2, Shirley Jackson, then Henry James.
I don't think Homer ever interacted with Henry James.
Not sounding familiar. Jackson James.
Don't know.
Okay.
Yep.
Shirley Jackson, Henry James, Christopher Pike. Shirley Jackson, Henry James, Christopher Pike, complete the pattern.
I don't know. My best guess because of Christopher Pike is that it's R.L. Stine and it has something to do with Goosebumps because I have no idea what this is. But yeah. Goosebumps was a show on Disney Plus last year.
Yeah. Edgar Allan Poe.
Okay, sure.
Edgar Allan Poe?
Yeah.
Edgar Allan Poe is correct. Why is it correct, though?
Danny...
They all wrote ghost stories.
All right, you just stumbled into the answer, but congratulations on Edgar Allan Poe.
They were all featured in adapted for Treehouse of Horror?
No, but that is getting towards the meat of it.
Okay.
In airing order, these are the literary influences for Mike Flanagan's next flick horror anthology series.
Oh, sure.
So they are The Haunting of Hill House, The Haunting of Bly Manor, The Midnight Club, and then the Fall of the House of Usher. Midnight Mass was skipped. It's not an adaptation.
Okay. Good job, Danny.
Cool. Nicely 2
done.
Points for me.
Sarah and Alex, your first item is the Partridge Family.
Okay.
The Partridge Family. Something Solution from the Partridge Family. Wild guess?
TV shows featuring buses.
But you have to complete the pattern.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. So, next clue, please.
Partridge Family. Step by Step.
Yeah, the Partridge Family song. But it's another one.
Well, this is like families with a bunch of kids, right? So... Yeah. Eight is enough might complete the pattern.
You are correct. Eight enough.
Oh, good job.
3-point answer. Partridge Family, 5 kids. Keith, Lori, Danny, Chris, and Tracy. 6 kids for Step by Step. Who cares? Seventh Heaven, 3rd season on, we had 7 kids. Then 8 is enough. Or John and Kate plus 8, anything with 8 kids.
Gorgeous.
Okay.
All right. Nicely done. 3-point answer.
Whew.
Final question of regulation goes to Tara and Danny.
Okay.
Your first item is hunting.
I don't know. Next clue.
Hunting pancakes.
Oh, these are... Oh, shit. It's...
Oh, review.
Yeah, but what completes the pattern? Pancakes, divorce, pancakes. Pancakes is at the end of it, because...
I like pancakes.
I think it's review topic. So then it's like the episode in question, if we're right, is pancakes, divorce, pancakes. So pancakes.
Pancakes is correct. That's another 3-point answer. These are the real life events reviewed by Forrest McNeil on Review, starting with the final request of episode 2, making a sex tape, being racist, hunting, and covering the next episode in its entirety, pancakes, divorce, pancakes. Nicely done. All right. That's regulation. Wow. Scores, please.
Oh boy, this was close. Danny had 10. Alex had 13. I had 17. Sarah is our victress with 18.
Whoa, nicely done. All right. Wow. I've got one tiebreaker. Let's do it quickly. Whoa. First person to answer wins a steel meal for future use. Item number 1, a painting depicting Greg as an angel with duck feet. Number 2, sunglasses with mirrors. A painting depicting Greg as an angel with duck feet. Sunglasses with mirrors. Pet mouse named Greg, 17 pounds. And 3 lottery scratchers. Complete the pattern.
Aww.
Anybody know the show we're talking about?
Oh, these are this Taskmaster related. These are prize tasks.
Painting depicting Greg as an angel with duck feet.
Yep.
Sunglasses with mirrors.
Yep.
Pet mouse named Greg, 17 pounds, and 3 lottery scratchers.
So it's the 5th prize gift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it the one guy getting a tattoo of Greg's name on his foot?
The tattoo of the name Greg on a foot from Taskmaster. These are the submissions.
Oh, so good.
For buy the best 20-pound present for the Taskmaster task from episode 3 of Taskmaster. Ooh. Yes. Josh Whitacombe awarded 5 points.
Josh,
so it's 2, 3, 4, 5 points for tattooing Greg on his foot. But so Tara got the steel mill, but Sarah wins the day.
Yeah.
Sarah. Thank you to all my teammates.
Well, that is it for another episode of Extra Hot Gray. We told you all about the new fall TV shows we're into, not into, the ones we're happy you're into, and the ones new ones should be into. Tara couldn't save 911 Lone Star in the canon. We crowned winners and losers of the week. And Sarah D. Bunting was the winner of this week's Game Time from Seth. Next up, Mr. Throwback on Friday's EEHG, Tarantino's CSI on a special bonus episode of Extra Extra Hot Great on Tuesday, and then Bad Monkey on Wednesday right here on EEHG Prime in a week's time. That rhymes, so you know it's going to be good. Remember,
we're listening.
I am David T. Cole, and on behalf of Tara Arrieta,
that's what I like about Texas.
Sarah D. Bunting.
Spit it out, Brad.
Alex Collins.
I'm not a swinger. I'm a soft swinger.
And Daniel McEachern.
Hasta la bye-bye.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next time right here on Extra Hot Grade.
I think it was a mistake to remove all mentions of God.
Sorry, did you say roast beef, Sutherland?
Yes, that is what I said.
Oh.
Roast beef, Sutherland.